Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Chapter 2, find it there. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and chapter 2. Brother Anderson, come on and sing for us tonight, and we'll enjoy the song, and then we'll get into a little talk tonight from the Word of God. Okay, Brother?
Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in the shade. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify him, he's to blame." Upon his precious head they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold the King." They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. To the howling mob he yielded, he did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone. And when he cried, "He's finished," he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. But he died alone for you and me.
Brother Anderson, bless you. Enjoy that great song for such a good season. Amen. Good time of the year. But Brother Anderson, now don't forget, I still want to hear that my morning prayer song. We still want to hear that. Amen. So don't forget about that one. And that was good tonight. We enjoyed that. All right. I want to speak on the subject, rise up and come away. We'll get there in just a second. Rise up and come away. You're in Song of Solomon chapter 2. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for staying on the cross. Thank you for not calling those legions of angels to come and deliver you. Thank you that you didn't come down, but you stayed on that cross and paid the entire price for our sin debt. Thank you so much for that, shedding every drop of your blood. Lord, I'm already anticipating and looking forward to Sunday night when we gather around your table and remember what you did for us on Calvary. Now, Lord, give us a good time in your book tonight. Speak to our hearts, Lord, please, in a very specific and definite way. Help me anoint my lips and all of our ears so that we may hear tonight what you want us to hear, God, please. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. I believe most of you understand that the Song of Solomon contains a lot of symbolism about the relationship between Christ, the bridegroom, and you and me, the bride. We learn much about our relationship with the Lord and His relationship with us from this book. Some time ago on Wednesday night, I brought a lesson that I entitled Faithfulness Through the Seasons. And I forget how long ago that was. It may have been probably within this calendar year, but it could have been back as early as January. I don't remember. But in that lesson, we learned how we as God's people go through seasons spiritually just like God's earth goes through seasons, like spring and summer and fall and winter and hot and cold, etc. And you and I, we learn much about the Christian life and we learn much about ministry from the seasons that the earth goes through. God teaches us much about it in His book. Now, as individuals, we go through different seasons at different times. When it is winter for you, it may be summer for somebody else. And while it's summer for them, it may be fall for another person. While it's fall for them, it may be spring for somebody else. So we all go through different seasons. We don't all go through winter together. And all go through, I'm talking about spiritually speaking, we all go through winter together. For 9 or 10 months, whatever it is. But anyway, we all go through winter together. But I'm talking about spiritually speaking. We don't all go through the same seasons together at the same time. We all are people with individual strengths and individual weaknesses. And, you know, God is a very individual potter. And each one of us who is on the wheel, God is molding and making us and responding to what we are responding to His pressure, hopefully. And He's molding and shaping us as individuals, okay, to love Him and serve Him. And so we don't go through these things together, but we go through them at different times. And we go through them for different lengths of times. Your winter season may be shorter than mine. My winter season may be longer than somebody else's or shorter than somebody else's. Your spring may be longer than my fall. And you get the gist of what I'm saying tonight, right? We all go through seasons spiritually. We all go through them at different times. There's much we can learn about them from the Bible. So it's interesting to me to look down at verse number 10. I want to show you this here tonight. Look at verse number 10. Here the bridegroom speaks. The bridegroom speaks. So this is Jesus. And He says in verse 10, "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Now I want you to see at the end of verse number 13, that statement is almost repeated verbatim. It says, "Arise," instead of "rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." So this "rise up and come away" is used two times within about four verses there. That invitation or command or however you want to interpret it, I want you to notice that it comes at the close of winter. Look at verse 12. Verse 10, it says, "Rise up, my loved one, my fair one, and come away." Then verse 11, "For lo, the winter is past." Now we're going to remind the Lord of that, okay? The winter is past. It is done. Snow is just frozen rain, isn't it? Is that what it is? The rain is over and gone. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're gonna point this out to the Lord right there here in Illinois, that the winter is past and the rain is come and is over and gone. Now look at what He says here. He says, as we read on, in verse 12, "The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell." So, the bridegroom says, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." The winter's past. The rain is gone, it's over. The flowers are blooming again. The singing of birds is heard again. The cooing of the doves is heard again. The fruit trees are budding and blossoming and bearing again. The plants are putting off an aromatic fragrance again because winter is past. It's over and it's done and now it's springtime. Hey, winter is over. You know what that means? The bleakness and the barrenness and the dormancy of the earth is now, it's over and it's coming back to life. The earth is coming back to life. Folks, all the things that He mentioned in verses 11 and 12 and 13 here are what's happening right now before our eyes. The earth is coming back to life again. It was buried pretty deep here for a while. The earth is coming back to life again. You know, it's getting to the time of year when I don't need the alarm clock anymore because the birds in the trees, I hear them. They're waking me up. And that means this summer at 4:30, I'll be awake. Because, man, I wake up with the birds. I hear them. And I wake up. and the cooing of the doves. And we've heard those. Maybe you've got trees around your house or in town or somewhere, and you've heard the birds singing, and you see the trees budding and blossoming, and there's a few flowers. There's a very few, but there's a few out there. And they are blooming again. And with this life, now watch it, life is coming back to the earth again because it's spring. Winter's passed. Has it been winter for you lately? So, it's been winter. No, I'm talking about spiritually. Has it been winter for you lately? Has your Christianity been dormant, barren, bleak? Now look, we all go through. Now who's he talking about? We all go through that. We all go through that season. And you know, the truth of the matter is, some of us do a good job of masking it in front of other people, you know, because we've learned to smile and shake hands and how you doing? Praise the Lord. Amen. But inside, it's barren. Inside, it's bleak. Inside, spiritual life basically is dormant. It's winter time. Do the barrenness and the bleakness and the dormancy of winter have to settle in for long periods of time in our life? Do we stay in winter with no hope of coming out? Is that how we finish our course in winter? What can we learn about coming out of winter time spiritually from this passage? Because I believe we can learn some things here about coming out of winter time spiritually into spring again. Now, you don't have to answer, but wouldn't it be wonderful to come back to life again spiritually? You don't have to answer. I'm not asking anybody, that's me. I'm not asking anybody to raise their hands tonight. Because we do a pretty good job of masking it. Okay? But we all know what winter is like spiritually. We all have been there. Okay? And I want us to see some things tonight out of this passage that I believe will be a help to, hopefully a help to some folks tonight. You say, who do you have in mind? Who are you talking to? I don't know, but I'm talking to somebody because there's absolutely no way in a church this size with this many people here on Wednesday night that there's not some person or more than one person's in wintertime right now. And you know what? You can come back to life. Just like the earth is coming back to life right now. You can come back to life spiritually. Let me give you four things here in this passage. We won't be long. Look at it. First of all, I think we need to understand the language of love. The language of love. Look at verse 10. He says, rise up. Look what he says here. My love, my fair one. Do you see that? And then look at the bottom of verse number 13. Again, arise. My love, my fair one. Look at it twice. My love, my fair one. People, those are terms of endearment. Those are terms of love. And if you're in spiritual winter tonight, if you're in spiritual dormancy inside, you need to realize that Jesus doesn't love us because of what we are doing for Him. He loves us because of whose we are. We belong to Him. That's why He loves us. And His love is constant through all the seasons. He doesn't love us more in summer and spring than He does in fall and winter. He doesn't love us less in winter than He does in summer. His love is constant. It is unchanging because it's not because of what we're doing for Him. It's because we belong to Him. That's the language of love. Now, don't misunderstand me. Jesus is very pleased with us when we are busy and when we are active and when we are involved and when we are productive and when we are fruitful and when we see somebody saved or when we have an influence on somebody or when we teach a lesson or when we read our Bibles, and it's because we love Him and we want Him to speak to us. He's very pleased when we serve Him and do for Him. And even when our efforts fall short of perfection, Jesus still finds pleasure in them. Isn't that blessed to know? That we don't have to render perfect service for Him to be happy. Huh? Who could do that? Nobody could do that. So He's very pleased when we serve Him. Isn't every parent pleased with a child, when that child picks up the room and empties the trash and makes the bed and puts away the clothes and is faithful to perform any other chores? Isn't a parent pleased with a child when that child behaves and performs like that? Of course a parent is pleased with that kind of life from a child. Right? Yes, we are. But is that the basis of our love for them? That's not the basis of our love for them. People, we don't love them because of what they do for us. We love them because of whose they are. They're ours. They belong to us. And you walk in their rooms at night and see them sleeping there, and if it's a mess and the trash can is overflowing and there's clothes not put away, you shake your head and say, man, I'm going to have to work on this. But you look at that little sleeping kid in that bed and your heart just filled. Because of whose they are. It's your kid. Now don't miss this. Jesus doesn't love us because of what we do for Him. He's pleased with what we do for Him. But He doesn't love us because of that. And you need to hear the language of love tonight if you are in winter. The bridegroom refers to the bride who has been in winter as my love, my fair one. Those are terms of endearment and love. And you know what? That ought to be reason enough for us to lend our ear to what He asks of us. Because, how happily we can yield our ear to the One who loves us like no other. It is so easy, folks, it's not hard to give a listening ear to Jesus, to the One that we know loves us more than any others. So I want you to see tonight that if you are in winter time right now, spiritually, Jesus is calling to you. And I want you to see it's with the language of love. My love. My fair one. He's not breathing down your neck. He's not saying, you bum, you lousy Christian. He's calling to you with the language of love. My fair one, my love. He loves us. His love is constant. Because again, it's not because of what we do for Him. It's because we belong to Him. Number two. I think the second thing we need to understand is we understand the race to run. Understand the race to run. Look at verse number 10 again. Rise up. Look at verse number 13. Arise. Look, even though you may have been in winter time spiritually, understand God still has plans for your life. You believe that? You may have given up on yourself, but God hasn't given up on you. Rise up! Arise! He wouldn't call if He didn't have something for you to do. He wouldn't call if He didn't have some kind of race for you left to run. I got the most blessed call. I decided I would do this for a spoke on somebody. I didn't go into this depth with the staff this morning, but in about 10 minutes I shared with them what I'm doing in more detail with you tonight. And as it was already set, then I got a phone call from a missionary who had previously filled out one of our missionary questionnaires so we can get to know who they are and what they believe and so forth. And he called today for a meeting, and Naomi brought me his questionnaire so I could look at it. And I remember looking through it, and I always make some notes on the questionnaire. And it was an older man. And I was in a staff meeting when he called, and I said, I'll call him back. And she said, he'll call you back. And he did. About 11:20, 11:25, he called. 11:15, he called back. And his name was Brother Hansard. He's with the same mission board that Jason Lowe is with, Macedonian Baptist World Missions, down in Braselton, Georgia. And he was 17 years missionary in Indonesia. He'd been a church planner, and then went over to Indonesia. He was 17 years in Indonesia, and he had some health issues and some surgeries, and he had to come home because of his health issues and his surgeries. And now he's going up and down the eastern seaboard trying to help churches and help pastors and help new church plants. And Brother Scott, exactly what you're wanting to do. And I told him, I said, brother, I said, man, we have a guy that's just pulled into town who's doing the same thing you're doing, wants to do the same thing you're doing. But in talking to him, he wants to spend the rest of his life helping men get churches started. He's 59 years of age. 59. Now, I cannot speak for him. But I wonder if having to come home from the mission field and go through surgeries, I wonder if that put him in the dead of winter spiritually. Because stuff like that can do that to us. It can put us in the dead of winter spiritually. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn. Maybe I'm being presumptuous. And I didn't ask him, but you know, just kind of bleak and dormant. But you know what? I got from his phone conversation, he obviously has heard the clear call of the one who loves him like no other loves him. Rise up! There's still a race you can run. There's still a sermon you can preach. There's still a lesson you can teach. There's still a song you can sing. There's still a track you can distribute. There's still a hand you can shake. There's still a soul you can win. There's still somebody you can encourage. Rise up! And that's what God wants you to hear that tonight. If you're in the dead of winter spiritually, listen to it. He calls, consider, understand the race to run. If you've been in the dead of winter spiritually, hear the voice of the one who loves you calling and realize he would not call if he did not have a plan for you. He would not tell you to rise up and just have nothing for you to do. No. There's a plan. He has a race for you to run for the rest of your life. Understand the language of love. He's not breathing down your neck. He calls you fair one. And by the way, you know, I don't feel like I'm in the winter season tonight, but I'm tucking this stuff away because I'll be there again. I've been in wintertime spiritually. I'll be there again. That's true about all of us. Nobody stays in summer their whole life. Nobody stays in harvest time, fall, their whole life. No. In and out, and in and out, and in and out. Understand the language of love. Understand the race to run. Thirdly, notice that I want you to understand the will to warmth. And let me explain what I mean here. The will to warmth. Look what he says in verse number 13. Rise up and come away. He says that in verse number 10. And then in verse number 13. Arise and come away. Shake yourself. Make a move. Make a step. Take a step. You do that. You do it. Get out of winter. What do you want Jesus to do? Come and take you by the hand and yank you into springtime? Yeah, I had this thought this afternoon. Look, you know, I don't. The earth may unwillingly respond to the seasons because that is how God designed it to happen. It just happens. The trees do not decide, hey, it's time to bud again. The grass doesn't decide, hey, it's time to be green again. The earth just responds because that's the grand design of God. Springtime comes and things begin to grow. Summer comes and they go into full bloom. Harvest time comes, they begin to die. Fall comes, they begin to die. Winter comes and it's bleak and barren. And the earth does that because it's part of God's grand design. Friend, I want to tell you something. His design is different for you and me. Because by design, we have a free will. And God wants us to use it to choose to get out of winter. Choose to live for Him. We're not going to instinctively respond to His call and just morph from winter into spring against our will. Here's the question. Do you want to move back into activity? Do you want to move back into productivity? Do you want to move back into fruitfulness? Do you want to? Is there a will to warm up? Is there a will to warmth? I'll tell you something. There is one inside us whose ears respond to the Lord's call, rise up and come away. If you're saved, this dear Spirit of God lives in you. And listen, brother, He hears the rise up and He yearns for you to do just that. And He will prompt you and He will plead with you. Get back at it. Warm up again. Come on, get out of winter. Listen to Him. Follow His lead. Follow His pleading. Follow His prompting. Don't just park in winter. God just put me in winter and left me here. No, He didn't. He calls, rise up. He calls, come away. But at some point in time, you and I have to exercise the will that He gave us. Listen to the Spirit's pleadings. Respond to His promptings. He'll move us to warmth again. And warmth, isn't that one of the key ingredients of spring? Warmth, isn't it? The sun's rays are closer, and the sun's rays are warmer, and so the ground warms, and soon the grass and the trees and the vines. By the way, did you notice how green the grass looked with that white snow on it? Unbelievable. But all that happens because of warmth. All that happens because of the sun's rays. And soon the vines and the plants have life again. And this is not by accident. This is for you and I to learn from. You can have life again. Isn't that revival? Isn't that what revival is? Life again? Warmth away from winter. Goodbye dormancy. Bleakness and barrenness. And hello fruitfulness. I hear the voice of the language of love. And I understand the race to run. And I want to willingly decide this time for me to move out of winter spiritually. Amen. Yes, the will to warm. Then lastly, let me point this out tonight. Number four, I want you to understand the difference in direction. The difference in direction. Look at verse number 10 again. Rise, my love, rise up, and then come away. Emphasis on up and away. At the end of verse 13, arise, which is rise up again. And then at the end of the verse, away. Now listen, if understand the difference in direction. If we do not rise up and come away, then we could end up going down into a deeper winter. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to see this one come to an end. I'm not complaining. And those of you that lived up in this area in the late 70s, 77, 78, 79, because we were right over here in northwest Indiana. We remember this. It's been a long time since we had a winter like this. I'm thankful to see it end. I wouldn't like it if Tom Skilling was saying, folks, groundhog number two showed up out in Pennsylvania. We're going to have six more weeks of snow. I'm not interested in going into a deeper winter. I'm not interested in that at all. And if you're in winter tonight spiritually, you should not be interested in staying there. Now, you wouldn't want to stay in winter physically. And if you don't hear tonight, rise up. Come away. Winter's past. If you don't hear the language of love tonight and understand the race to run, and understand, you've got to exercise your will in this thing. Go along with God. You've got to go along with Him. He's calling, He's pleading, okay, Lord, I'll come. And if you don't understand, friend, that the potential is to go down into a deeper freeze, I don't think anybody wants that. I believe God sends us into winter to test us. I believe God sends us into winter to fine-tune us. But I don't think He sends us into winter to stay. Don't stay in winter any longer than God intended for you to be there. I'm concerned. So who are you preaching to tonight? I'm preaching to the whole church tonight. Because everybody goes through winter. But I am concerned about some. I will tell you, I am concerned about some because it seems you have been spiritually dormant longer than you should be. Folks, nobody's a robot. And pastors who expect people to be robots are out of their heads. For you to expect me to be a robot, that's not going to happen. But none of us should stay in winter longer than we're supposed to. Away from it. Up. Be on the move. Don't sink down into further barrenness. Don't sink down into further bleakness. I, for one, don't want to see you spend the rest of your life in a self-imposed winter. Does that make sense? I want you there. I want you to hear the language of love tonight. I want you to understand the race to run. I want you to understand the will to warp, but I want to warn you. Those are all positive things, but I want to warn you, if you just continue to turn a deaf ear to the voice of the bridegroom saying, rise up and come away. Winter's done. It's supposed to be over. You're not supposed to be in winter anymore. It's spring again. I'm concerned for you. And I want to warn you, that's dangerous. I think about old Simon Peter. After the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, he was in the winter spiritually. He said, I go a-fishing. He got away from everything he had ever been doing following the Lord Jesus Christ. Gave it all up. By the way, now, I know people can be too busy. I believe that. But I will tell you something. When I see folks just chucking responsibility and chucking opportunity at the church. I'm not going to do this anymore. I can't do that anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. When I see people just chucking, it concerns me. Because that's what Peter did. He chucked it all. So I'm going back to my full-time commercial fishing position. I'm not following Christ anymore. He's in winter time spiritually. But guess who came by to call rise up? When the morning came, Jesus stood on the shore. Watch it. Children, there's your term of endearment. Children, my love. Children, my fair one. Isn't it interesting, folks, that Christ went after Peter? Isn't it interesting? He comes after you. And He comes after me. Look, I took you in the wintertime because I needed to test you and fine-tune you. But hey, winter's over. Spring, my fair one, my love. Children, term of endearment. Cast your net on the other side. What's that? Rise up and come away. They had been barren. They fished all night and caught. Is that barren? That's rise up and come away. The fishes filled the net. And John said, Pete, it's Jesus. We've seen this before. And Peter's heart was warmed. And he, with his own free will, gathered up his coat over him and jumped in the water and swam up and away from spiritual winter into the race God had for him to run. Productive again. Oh yeah. Fruitful again. Oh yeah. Active again. Oh yes, friend. Pentecost comes. He's part of that witnessing group that sees 3,000 people saved and baptized and joined the church. He sees as God uses His shadow to pass over sick people and heal them. He sees as He speaks to the lame man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give unto thee. And He sees that man rise up and leap and walk. Was there a race for Peter yet to run? You bet there was. Peter had given up on himself, but God hadn't given up on Peter. Get back in the race, man. Winter, you weren't supposed to be in winter this long. No. And finally, his pen is moved by the Holy Ghost to give us two wonderful books toward the end of the New Testament. And then tradition says that when it came down to the very end of his life, they were going to crucify him. And he said, crucify me upside down. I don't deserve to be crucified like my Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. How about you? Has it been winter longer than it's supposed to? We all go into it. Some stay there. Where is it supposed to stay there? Rise up. My love, my fair one, enter. know about you, but those are good words to me. And the sweetness comes back, and the joy comes back, and the productivity comes back, and the fruitfulness comes back, and the Bible jumps off the page at you, and you're back driving to work with some tears in the edge of your eyes because you're talking to the Lord and you sense His presence right next to you.
Man!
When the Lord comes and says, winter's done, rise up. Now, Christian, respond. Hear His voice tonight. Okay? Winter's done. I mean, let's hope that physically speaking, winter's done, right? And didn't it kind of just mess you up on Monday night? Didn't it kind of just mess you up? I mean, think about it. You know, what? You know, all the snow, we put the snow shovels and all the stuff away, right? All the snow brushes, ice things, you know. Go out to the trucks Tuesday morning, crusted in the ice. What? That ain't supposed to happen now. God comes along, the Lord comes and He says, look, you've been in winter long enough, it's over, let's go. Get back in the saddle, let's roll. I got a race for you to run. Got something for you to do. Exercise your free will. Follow Him, get in His program, and don't stay in winter longer than you're supposed to. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's pray. Father in heaven, would you please speak to hearts tonight? Lord, I just ask you to reach down to the soul that needs this most in this room tonight. Lord, we do a very good job of masking what season we're in, especially in wintertime, because we've learned how to smile and say praise the Lord and sing. And that's all good. Lord, we should do that. We should be on top. But God, for somebody tonight who's lingered longer than they should have in winter, would you please shake them? Would you please come by tonight, their seat, rise up and come away? And, oh God, please anoint our ears to hear that. And God, thank you for not giving up on us. When we're tempted to stay frozen in winter and just froze up, thank you for not giving up on us and for having a race for us to run and for using us. The Lord bless us tonight. God, speak to some hearts. Somebody just came in for Wednesday night church just to kind of do it because it's, you know, it's the thing to do. But I pray that in the last 35 minutes, maybe something registered in their heart and soul that will change things, Lord. And I pray that in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.